This is the message from Connection Community Church for Sunday, September 1st, 2024. The Romans Road, for all have sinned. Given by disciple member Barry Wiseman.
Good morning, Connection Church. Wow, the shock on your face is looking at me standing up here. It's classic. I should get a picture of this. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Barry Wiseman. I'm the director of creative arts and worship here at the church. Typically, I sit back there and stare at the back of your heads for an hour. I help lead the church technical and production teams. I also have the distinct privilege of working closely with our pastors, Carrie and Alan Jones. They are away at a much-needed vacation in Ocean City. I also am honored and humbled to be here to present God's word to you today. More than anything, I am a sinner who was saved by God's amazing, unyielding, unwavering grace. Would you pray with me, please? Father God, thank you for this gorgeous day, for this opportunity to connect to you, Lord, to be able to delve into your word. God, we pray that distractions and all those kind of things just get out of the way, that we can just lean in to what you have as a message for us today. God, I pray for the words, for the time, and just for open ears and open hearts as we share this time together this morning. It's in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit we pray. Amen. So I'm going to be completely honest with you. We have a worship design team that kind of goes through these ideas for sermon series. And we went through them, and I think Deb and Jacob had the idea for the Romans Road. And we're talking about it. I'm just in it. I'm thinking about graphics and stuff. We're all excited about it and everything else. And I'm got to be honest, I had no earthly idea what a Romans Road was. I thought it was some road in Rome that Jesus walked on or was in the movie The Gladiator or something that I completely missed. Had no idea what it was. See, when I was young, I didn't go to church. I went to church until I was maybe 10 years old. John Knox Presbyterian Church, Indianapolis, Indiana. And I don't have hardly any memories except getting my first Bible. This was presented in 1977, September, so it was after Star Wars was released in May, so at least it's after Star Wars. But this is really my only memory of that church. I just did not grow up in the church. So sometimes we have these church construct ideas, these things we talk about. Since I wasn't involved in church as a kid, we're just kind of over my head. So this whole Romans Road thing, I didn't get it. So let's just get this out of the way first. The Romans Road is not a physical road. So get that out of the way first. It is not a road. As the video explained, the Romans Road is a roadway to salvation, a way to visualize and better understand the salvation offered through Jesus Christ. The website gotquestions.org explains it this way. The Romans Road to Salvation is a way of explaining the good news of salvation using verses from the book of Romans. The Romans Road is a simple yet powerful method of explaining why we need salvation, how God provided salvation, how we can receive salvation, and what are the results of salvation. So we're on the first stop today, and we'll continue this series during the month. So why we need salvation. Our scripture today is Romans 3:23. Can you read this with me, please? For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Nice and straightforward and simple. I went to Virginia Tech. I really appreciate simple things. Nice and easy to remember. So for all have sinned. So we're going to talk about sin today. Thank you, Alan and Carrie, for giving me this subject to talk about with everybody. This is nice and easy. But it's easy to talk about sin when you're talking about the other person. I know what I was thinking when we started this. I've got some people. I want to talk about their sin. They're doing some stuff. I want to talk about the stuff they're doing to find good ways to kind of make them understand what they're doing wrong. That's not what this is for. This is about my sin and your sin, our sin. So buckle up. The ushers are locking the door, so you can't flee, or we're going to get started. So we're going to start talking about sin, but it's fine and dandy to talk about the sins of others, but looking inside is not easy. I think we can all agree on that. We need to be able to take a step back and look at this for ourselves. But first of all, we need to define what sin is. It is 2024. I asked an expert, so I asked ChatGPT, and this is what it came up with. In Christianity, sin is defined as any act that goes against God's will or laws. It is seen as a moral failing or a transgression against divine law. That's not too bad for a computer-generated artificial intelligent answer. But let's go to kind of a more traditional reference. This is from the NIV Roman translation. Sin is, they've got a slide here. Sin is that little scribbly thing, that word, which is hamartano, which means to miss the mark as an archery. That makes sense. And then another definition is to do wrong, usually to do any act contrary to the will and law of God. Contrary to the will and law of God. So what is that? How do we find out what that will and law is? Well, the first thing we have is our Bible. We have this that has all kinds of examples in here. We also have this little rectangular piece of metal and plastic in our pockets. There are countless Bible apps, most of them are free, to read God's Word, to delve into devotion time, and these are all available on our phones. We just have to take the time to look at them and read them. So, again, Virginia Tech Hokie, how do we make this definition of sin a little bit simpler? So we're going to break it down to what it is. Sin is anything that comes between us and God. So, graphic. People, sin, God. Sin gets in the way. That's what sin is. So what does that look like? Well, we talked about these things a little bit ago. Can't this be a barrier between us and God? We have, again, all these great opportunities to connect with family and the people we love, ways to research the world around us, ways, again, to delve into God's Word and understand God better. But this is also a window and access to some of the most divisive, distracting, disgusting, and demented things in the world. It's all accessible right here. I'm not just talking about things like pornography and hate or dishonoring or foul language or that kind of stuff. I'm also talking about taking time away from our time with God. Just take a look, go to the restaurant sometime and see how many times you see a family sitting together, how many of them are looking at this instead of talking to each other. And that's what we do. And I'm as guilty as anyone else. I am guilty as charged right here. I was just on vacation. I had this great plan. I'm going to take this much time with God, this much time in devotion and this kind of thing. How much of that time was the lure of a notification, a reel somebody sent me, a funny cat video or something like that, that took me away from that time that I needed to spend with God? It was just a distraction. It was a way of just getting away from what God had planned for me. This kid that was born in Indianapolis and then grew up in the Shenandoah Valley, Virginia, didn't really know what sin was because he didn't go to church anymore after that for a long, long time until I was in my 30s and my second son was born. I knew what was right and wrong. Mom and Dad taught me that, plus my brother messed up enough. I knew what wrong was because he did something wrong. I told Mom and Dad, and that's how I knew what it was. So I was, and here's a sin right here, the sin of pride. I was the good kid. I very distinctly remember, I was in probably third grade. Our class got in trouble for something, being loud, obnoxious, something like that. And we got in trouble. And the teacher said, were any of you actually not talking? Guess who raised their hand? And she said, and I'm not kidding you, she said, well, Barry's about the only one who I would believe anyway. So I was that guy. I was the kid in high school. I didn't drink. I didn't cuss. I didn't do drugs. I didn't fight. I beat up a few times, but that's bullying. It's a separate subject altogether. But that was me. I was the guy who, if I went to a party, friends would tell Mom and Dad, well, Barry Wiseman's going to be there. Well, it's okay that it's not that kind of party because I was that guy. But meanwhile, I thought I was this good guy, but yeah, that Bible that I have was gathering dust on a shelf, never to be opened. I was sinning and didn't know it. all have sinned and fall short. It's right there. All of us struggle with sin. Even when we think we're being good, we are all still struggling with sin. It gets between us and God. But that's the first step to understand and acknowledge the fact that we are all sinners. It's just part of who we are. It's important that we see our own sinful nature to seek out God's grace. It is not to point out the sins of others, like we talked about before, and make sure that they're messing up. One of my favorite scriptures is this. This is from Matthew 7. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite! First take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Ouch. A big honking plank, as Alan would say. Focus on your own sins before going and looking at sin in anybody else's eyes. Anyone else guilty of that but me? I'll raise my hand for all of us right here. There's a little side note to this, though, I think we need to mention. If I'm doing something wrong and I'm sinning, I really hope I have a fellow Christian who is there to point it out to me and help guide me in what I'm doing wrong and make me accountable. Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. For me, I need people to keep me on the path on that road. Several of them are sitting in this room right now. If I have a Christian friend who I feel is committing a sin at the same time, I need to pray about it, how to approach them and gently and humbly talk to them. Not to judge or criticize or gossip, but to talk to them in all gentleness and love. I've got to say, knowing that we all have this sinful nature is actually very, very comforting. No one, and I mean no one, is above it. Billy Graham, he was a sinner. Mother Teresa, she dealt with sin. The Pope, he deals with sin too. Barry Wiseman surely deals with sin. One of the biggest impressions on me when I first came to Connection, Alan Carey were preaching, and I remember so vividly listening to them introduce themselves and say, we are sinners saved by God's grace. Hearing our pastors, the leaders of the church, admit that they struggle with the same stuff the rest of us do meant the world to me and struck me that these are real people. No one is above it. No pastors are above that. I have visited some other churches, seen some other churches online, and I've got the impression that maybe that's not the same mantra that not all pastors hold. I'm not judging. I've got my own planks to deal with, but I'm just saying. So, we all sin. Sin separates us from God. So now what about some specifics? First of all, do not Google images of biblical sin, because you're not going to like what you find. Take my word for it. Just don't do it. We're going to look at the Bible instead. We're not going to Google that. Here are some examples throughout Scripture of what we're called to avoid. This is Colossians 3, 5 through 10. This is a great list. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived. But now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. We also have probably the most well-known list of guides for us as Christians, the Ten Commandments. These are the 10 laws given to Moses when he came down after the Israelites left Egypt. These are in Exodus 20, 1 through 17, and we're going to go through this relatively quickly. 1, you shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make idols. You must not misuse the name of the Lord your God. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Honor your father and your mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony about your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife. House. I'm sorry, your neighbor's house. Either one of those is still a sin, let's be honest here. Okay. So as we go through all those, the list of items, and we said previously, anything that comes between you and God is a sin. I want us all to be completely honest with ourselves and honest with God. Take that time. Don't raise your hands. We're not going to compare notes. But just take that time and be completely honest about what you struggle with in your own sin. I know I'm guilty. Do I covet my neighbor's house? Absolutely. I struggle with wanting a better house, a nicer car, better gear to film stuff with and edit stuff with. And in the same vein, do I make things idols? Absolutely. Gear and stuff. And even my kids and grandsons sometimes. Angry and language? Well, that little vacation I was on, I was in the mountains, and I got my GPS wasn't working because of the mountains, and I got lost, which I've been known to do occasionally. And I said some words in that car that I really shouldn't say. No one heard them, but God did. And I had to apologize to God and ask forgiveness for that. I could go on and on and on. There are so many things that come between me and God. But this all goes way back to the very beginning. The Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve. They lived in this perfect place, walked and talked with God. God gave them a very unambiguous, very clear rule. Do not eat from that tree. About as black and white as it could possibly be. And yet they committed what is typically known as the original sin. Think about this, these two people living in heaven on earth with only one clear rule, and even they were tempted to commit that sin. As Christians, our goal should be to move past that sin, all of our sins, small and large, to aspire to achieve a life as free of sin as humanly possible. We may stumble, we may fall, and we need to accept that. We are on this road, and there are times we're going to veer off the road, or hit a pothole, or going to get distracted while driving. We want to move past this sin, and we can. We just have to accept it and ask forgiveness to do our very best to not repeat that sin, to not continue to make the same mistakes we made previously. God will forgive our sins. We just have to take that time to recognize it and ask Him. Let's keep reading through to the next verse. For all have sinned, bless you, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. Yes, we all fall short, but through Jesus, in His grace, He redeems us from the penalty of our sins. We're going to cover a lot more of this in the course of this series, so please stay tuned. But it's important that we accept the fact that this is not the end of the story. Sin is not the end. Jesus frees us from our sins. There's forgiveness, and through Him we can hand our sins over to Him. What an incredible promise we have. For me, just about a year ago, I was struggling through the darkest days of my life. I would come to work here at church and put on a mask and pretend everything was okay, but it was a bold-faced lie. I was hurting in ways that were incredibly dark and deep. I was going through my second divorce in 5 years. I was also reliving the first divorce because of the second one. I was living with Alan and Carrie, while I searched for a new home. I was in utter pain, questioning myself on many levels, and really wondering how I was going to survive this. I didn't know where I was going to live, how I was going to manage financially, what was wrong with me, and how to still be a dad, a friend, a brother, an employee, and manage all that I was feeling and enduring. And then one night, I remember lying in bed. I'm two doors down from your pastors, two of the most faithful people I know on the planet, and I am just hopeless and lost, and I was done. I told God I can't do it anymore, and I prayed to not wake up the next morning. I am so ashamed of my untrusting heart that I would be willing to give up God's greatest gift of my own life and abandon everything. By God's grace, I woke up that next day and saw the despicable sin that I committed the night before. It is not a sin to be in mourning. I had to deal with that and accept that, but it is not a sin to be in mourning. But my sin of unbelief, of not trusting God, of giving up on Him, that was my biggest thing. My hypocrisy was just overwhelming. I was ashamed of my thoughts and what I was considering and the horrible prayer I had made. And I had to get down on my knees and ask God to forgive me. What about you? Are you able to see the sins in your life? It is not easy to look inside and see those sins. Have you ever sinned in such a way, like mine, where you would say, Barry, you ain't heard nothing yet? Is it too much? Have you struggled with some horrible things in your life that you have got to just let go? The burden has become just too much. Today is the day to let it go. Do not wait till tomorrow. Do not wait till this afternoon. Do it right now. Tell God what you have done and give it up. Give it up to Him. You'll be forever thankful for asking that forgiveness. It will change you. You are not alone. You do not have to do this on your own. Take this time today. The steps will be open for prayer during our last song. The prayer corner will be open. Take the time to talk to someone and pray and give that up. For me, after that terrible night of feeling like it was over, I started really believing that God had gotten me through the dark times and I could see the light. He would get me through and I would be better through Him. He would somehow make me stronger. And through all this, one day, He could use my experience to help others. And through these dark days, I continued to worship God more and more every day. Although the pain was still there, I focused on thankfulness, on gratitude. Thankful for God for what He was doing, for what I knew He was going to continue to do through His strength and through His grace. Thankful that even though I was not faithful, He was. Thankful that He was going to take this pain and turn it into something absolutely glorious. Instead of feeling hurt and focusing on my shortcomings, I would focus on gratitude to Him. And then a certain song came up, Gratitude by Brandon Lake. I listened to that song on repeat, and I'm not kidding you, all the time. If you drove to Middletown, you would hear it blaring through my speakers in my car. I would sing it at the top of my lungs. I'm going to share the chorus with you. I'm not going to sing the chorus. I'm going to share the chorus with you now. So I throw up my hands and I praise You again and again. Because all that I have is a hallelujah. And I know it's not much, but I've got nothing else fit for a king. Except for a heart singing hallelujah, hallelujah. We are all sinners, but we can ask forgiveness. And for that, we have everything to be thankful for. Will you pray with me, please? Father God, this is not easy to talk about. Our own sin is something that we don't like to look at or think about, but Lord, we know it's there. And God, we thank you that we're able to just give this sin up to you. We're grateful for your love and your grace that washes away those sins, that could take us to a new and different place. God, we thank you for your love and grace that washes over all of us each and every day. Help us give those sins up to you and say, God, I am free and thank you. Hallelujah and amen.
Thank you for listening to the message from Connection Community Church. For more information and to find out more about our ministries, you can visit us on our website at justshowup.church. You can also call our church offices at 302-378-7692. Thanks again for listening. Connection Community Church, connecting people to Jesus and the new life he offers.